So space weather was not something I'd ever worried about. It's not something that it ever concerned me. And until now, well, until last week when I had a brief conversation with Colin Cullis about space weather. Now he's got me fretting over something that is so way beyond my control. I don't know why I'm worrying about it, Colin Cullis, but tell me about space weather. Be the Simon Gear of space, would you?
Well, this week we saw Elon Musk launch another 24 satellites. So as we become a lot more space venturing and we use a lot more electrical equipment, this does become something that we should be mindful of. Scientists are. World governments are. Us regular people, less so. So this evening, just so that you get some context, not so that you get hugely fearful of it, I thought I'd tell you a bit about the Carrington event. And hopefully by the end, you'll now be able to answer somebody with the RC. What is a Carrington event? You say, well, let me tell you, that is 10% amazing and 90% very, very bad. That's pretty much the shortest answer I could give you. And it relates to the most severe level of solar activity. So the sun, billions of years old, one enormous nuclear fusion reaction, converting a bunch of hydrogen into helium, and of course bathing us in this beautiful light that allows us to sustain life as we know it on our planet. It could go all very wrong though, because as the sun is emitting that light, it's also sending off all sorts of other types of particles, charged particles, and they also slam into the Earth all the time. And thankfully, we have a molten core. This is the science bit coming. A molten core that generates a magnetic field. The magnetic field sort of works as a big buffer and pushes all those charged particles around the Earth for the most part, and sometimes redirecting them down towards the poles. That's why they call poles the magnetic poles of the Earth. And for those who've been able to visit, they will see the aurora under those circumstances. So general solar activity gets a small aurora. Sometimes we don't worry about it. It looks pretty. On occasions, though, the sun will burp. They're called solar flares, the technical term. And those burps emit sort of a combination of more charged particles and some sort of X-ray radiation. That moves very, very quickly. We've got sensors watching it. But if we're watching it, we tend to find out in about 8 minutes that it's happened, because that's how long it takes light to travel the 150 million odd kilometers between us and the sun. Then it's followed with a little more of those charged particles and we get even better aurora. So if there's somebody looking for a space weather report, you might want to look at these sun cycles. The sun has sort of a 11-year cycle between going through low activity, which we are now, to a much elevated amount of activity. And so possibly tour him to go and see the aurora both in the North Pole and the South Pole. Those are good times to go. But then we get to the one that's a little more of a worry, the coronal mass injections. This is the sun vomiting. And it can have just a little vomit, just sort of a little casual vom, or a really, really big one. And the Carrington event relates to the big daddy of coronal mass injection and solar flares, and took place a couple of days either side of September the 1st, 1859. It was observed by an astronomer called Richard Carrington, who now inspires fear in all scientists because of the event he detected. It was truly a massive one. And the thing to note about this is that while the sun is ejecting stuff all the time, it has to be directed at us for it to have that major impact. So that's the first bit that makes this an improbable and rare event. Not that the sun isn't doing this belchy, vomity stuff all the time, just that it really is headed our way. Here's how big it was. It ejected enough stuff that at the time, this is 1859, the only electronic systems in place, no power networks, no satellites, none of that stuff, was a telegraph system. Pretty big one across Europe and the US. Telegraph operators started noting a lot of interference, like people were sending messages that nobody could understand and they were just constantly coming through. Then they started getting shocks through their little sort of machines. Some of the wires began sparking, some of the poles got set alight. In realizing that this obviously wasn't right, they disconnected them from the power supplies. And even with no power connected, they were able to send messages across the network that wasn't too affected by interference, simply because there was so much electrical energy sloshing about in the sky. For those who had no knowledge of the telegraphs, they simply noted the most beautiful aurora that possibly humanity has had the chance to see. And these things weren't just at the poles. You would have been able to see them as far north in the south as South Africa, and as far south in the northern hemispheres as across most of Europe. And apparently the colors and the descriptions of them were amazing. There was a group of miners in America that got up early believing the sun had risen. It was so bright. Of course, thankfully, humanity had no idea about it. In subsequent years, they began investigating and realizing this could be bad. And of course, as if we fast forward to now, industrial revolutions, all three of them, all very much electrical based. We've got satellites, we've got people orbiting right now in the space station who have to have special shielding to protect us from the regular solar wind. All kind of concerned that if this were to happen, we could be in big trouble. So the question is, could it happen? What's the odds? Well,
so what the concern here is, if we have one of these massive solar vomits, the solar flares that we talk about, and it does come in our direction. The entire 21st century communication network, which we have so successfully built as humanity around us, could very well be fried like the telegraph systems were, but with far worse consequences, because we're far more connected today than we were back then.
Yeah, think of it as sunny with a chance of destruction. So the way, or what would happen, and there's a counterintuitive response to this. There was one in 1989 that knocked out Canada's power supply. There was one in 2000, which we were so busy with Y2K and other things that we probably didn't quite notice, but the auroras were big enough we could see them here in South Africa. In fact, the astronomers in Sutherland decided to pause their observations for the night because it was too bright. But you had to be outside of the cities to kind of see them. And then the big one was in 2012. Now, I don't know if you remember any news coverage of the time, but typically the way news coverage for these sort of events would happen is scientists are telling us there is a massive potential, you know, thing coming for Earth. Nobody understands what it is. Nobody knew what a Carrington event was. So one of two reactions. Oh, my goodness, the world is going to end. Start praying and doing all those other good things, or run off to the shops and start stockpiling. At the time, they were still trying to determine how significant it was going to be and whether or not it was likely to hit us. And thankfully, it was just days away. So effectively, had this thing happened 3 or 4 days later, we would have orbited right into its path, and we would have had to deal with a pretty major electrical Armageddon. The solution, though, that the scientists will tell us is what we need to do is switch everything off. Unplug it. Put your phones down. Don't try and take selfies during this beautiful event. It'll fry your phone. That is massively disruptive. But at least after a couple of days when this all settles down, we can switch it all back on again and potentially restart our lives. The likelihood of us being able to do that or communicate sufficiently without causing complete panic is tough. I don't know how we're going to do it. But if we don't do that, then we risk popping a bunch of power outlets, frying all of our appliances, have whole office buildings, networks just completely be destroyed, and they're gone, well, pretty much for a very long time. Again, I have to stress, this is a very low probable and rare event to be coming straight our way. However, it's a good idea that we're aware of it, because business certainly will not be usual should this ever happen.
Have a nice holiday, Colin.
I'm going to go and look at the sun.
Exactly. Colin Cullis, thank you very much. Business Unusual on a Wednesday night. Something you'd never thought about worrying about before has scared the living bit daylights out of me, and possibly out of you too.